representing the 25th District from Puyallup. Senator Chris Gildon joining us on the line. Good afternoon to you, Senator Gildon. Appreciate you joining us.
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
So many that have visited the gas pump in the last couple of weeks have noticed maybe a precipitous incline. Even Costco isn't cheap anymore. Average around the state is about $4.97, $4.98, depending on what you look at. In Seattle area, it is over $5 a gallon. And we are officially right now 12 cents higher than California, which for a long time had the title the most expensive gas in the nation. We have that now and have had it for a couple of weeks. So, Senator, first of all, tell us, where do you believe the increase in gas price is coming from? And I'll follow that up with, what have you and some of your peers decided to do in taking steps to make this more public?
Yeah, sure. So as I'm sure you know, the state recently enacted a program called Cap and Trade. I call it Cap and Tax. But it's a program whereby companies that emit carbon have to buy credits for each bit of carbon that they emit. And then over time, they're supposed to be reducing their carbon output until they no longer need to buy any more credits. So the state just had two auctions this year. We had the first one, I believe, in February and the second one in May. The initial estimates were that each carbon credit was going to go for about $20 per credit. At the first auction, that price was $48.50, so about double what the estimate was. And then at the second auction, it went up to over $56 a credit. So in total, the state has raised about $857 million just this year on those carbon credits, and I believe that the cost of those credits is directly reflected in the price you're paying for gas at the pump.
Now, Senator, we know that the governor believes that it's oil companies that are gouging the common folk. But I don't know about you. I've never heard of a business that is in the business to lose money and go out of business. Yeah. So they're all going to pass the cost on to the consumer, whether it's an increase in the minimum wage, whether it's an increase in another tax in your municipality or at the state level. It always gets passed on to consumers regardless. So it makes sense that whoever is paying for these credits is passing that cost down the line.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's so simple. A fourth grader could figure that one out.
Well, our governor, well, never mind. So one of the things is interesting. You mentioned cap and tax. I grew up on the East Coast. We had a different term for things like that. It's called extortion. They put you in a position that you can't refuse, because if you do refuse, there will be repercussions. And that certainly seems the way the legislature set this up for businesses that, quote, emit carbon. But you and your peers have authored a letter to the Department of Ecology, you and some of your peers, I should say, to try and bring this out into the light a little bit more. And, you know, when reading through it, a number of things certainly that you call for: lowering the price ceiling, a greater number of no-cost allowances, making sure that those that have been promised exemptions, like those in the agriculture industry, actually get those exemptions, which they haven't been getting. I guess my question is, I don't expect them to pay attention to this letter and do anything to comply. Do you?
Well, let me back up and let everybody know exactly what the letter does.
Sure.
The legislature is not in session right now, and all of our constituents are suffering with high gas prices. The legislature is not going to be in session until next January, and I have no faith that the governor would call us into a special session to address the issue. So we had to do a little creative thinking and say, what can be done in the interim? And going through the bill, the legislature authorized the Department of Ecology to twist and turn certain levers. And so we just call out all of the dials that the Department of Ecology can turn in order to try and reduce the cost of each of these carbon auctions. And so we just outlined every one of them in a letter, and I'm going to send it to the Department of Ecology on July 11th. I'm taking from now until then to gain support, because I want to get as many legislators to sign on to the letter as possible in order to put pressure on the executive branch and the Department of Ecology to actually do some of the things that they already have approval to do. They could do these things today if they chose to. They just haven't done so yet. And so far I've got probably about 30 legislators, I haven't counted it up, that have agreed to sign on, including one Democrat. So I'm pretty happy about that. And I'm going to be reaching out to my Democrat colleagues to try and gain their support as well, because, you know, pretty much they crafted the bill. They gave the Department of Ecology these dials to turn. So let's encourage them to use it. And if anybody wants to help me out, to get a little bit of pressure, reach out to your legislators. At you can find their contact information at leg.wa.gov. That's leg.wa.gov. And send them an email, give them a phone call, tell them to sign on to the Gildon Ecology Letter. I'd really appreciate that.
We're talking with Senator Chris Gildon from the 25th District, Puyallup, here on the Bottom Line News Radio 610 KONA. Don't think you're going to have an issue with the senators and reps in our area, sir,
no.
Signing on to that.
Yeah.
You know, and
well,
Senator,
feel free to contact the rest of them as well.
Something else that we were wondering about, and we have asked every legislative leader that we can think of, either when they've come by the studios or we've had them on the phone, there have been repeated attempts to pin down the Department of Ecology, and it kind of sounds like they're trying to squish a ball of mercury that came out of a thermometer. But they've been pressing them and asking them, what about the ag exemptions? What about this? What about that? Have you had any luck getting any straight answers out of DOE about this matter?
No, we haven't. And I know Senator Mark Schessler in the 9th District has been making just a Herculean effort in that area. But to my knowledge, I don't think we've gotten anything concrete from them.
Because I know that they were promising these exemptions for the agricultural industry. So basically, it's kind of like the roaring silence. Have they weighed in on that, or are they just not saying anything?
I have not heard anything directly from the Department of Ecology on the topic.
Well, I guess that's...
Hopefully we can get a little pressure on them and get them to do, because that's actually something that they're supposed to do according to the bill. Is to implement that system of exemptions for agriculture and maritime.
Senator, I want to go back to the governor again just for a quick second, because in his comments regarding what he perceives as price gouging, he mentioned that it would be something the legislature would be taking up next year. Now, the only thing that I can think of in that regard that's going to be put to you and your peers would be something that would, if I remember correctly, I believe there was a bill either this past session, I think this past session, that was tried to be put forward that would cap or restrict how much prices could be increased by companies, even though they may be taking on a higher share. Do you expect to see some type of attempted price regulation legislation to come through here? And if the case, it seems that bills like this or statements like what the governor's making are intended to force these companies out of the state instead of them giving them the opportunity to add to the economy.
Yeah, I think that's probably exactly the intent. Is, you know, there's a real disdain for anything petroleum with a lot of folks down in Olympia. And a lot of their efforts are just directly contributing to higher cost across the board. And it's not just the price you pay at the pump, but, you know, obviously the price of agricultural goods, because the fuel's more expensive, the cost, added cost to truck drivers who are getting product back and forth to the market. It has so many impacts, and I think it's very important that we take that on. But let's go back to what the governor said about the oil companies price gouging. I think the number that he used is, he said that, and I don't agree with the number, but he said the oil companies are making 80 cents profit on every gallon of gas. So let's just assume that that is true, right? Let's not even debate the point. If that's price gouging, let me tell you, folks, Washington State is taking 93 cents out of every gallon of gasoline that's sold. So if the oil companies are price gouging at an assumed 80 cents, Washington State definitely is.
Senator, we're talking to Senator Chris Gildon from the 25th District in Puyallup here on the Bottom Line. Where is the money going to go, Senator? I mean, any scientist will tell you that you can't decrease the temperature of the planet through tax dollars. So where is this money supposed to go? How is this money supposed to be spent? Because that's the other thing that we never get an answer for, is this money's just going to get paid in, and then what happens to it? Where does it go? What program or what who are the benefactors for all this money?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, this year was my first year serving as the assistant ranking member on the Ways and Means Committee, which writes the budget. So I was one of four legislators that was in a room going through the governor's budget line by line and figuring out how we're going to allocate all of these tax dollars. And when it came to the Climate Commitment Act dollars, in the words of one of the Democrat leaders in the room, after looking at the governor's proposal, she said she was overwhelmingly unimpressed with the governor's plan. And, you know, it comes down to the distinction of, do you want to use those dollars for infrastructure type projects that actually reduce emissions? Or are you going to just kind of spread it across agencies, add a few new employees here, another program there, a bunch of program managers and analysts? And my push at that time is, if we're going to spend it, you've got to spend it on infrastructure that actually does something, right? So that's where I'm focused. We weren't successful in all cases. I'd say we probably put about 30% of the dollars towards infrastructure and about 70%, that's not precise at all, to administration and stuff like that.
And that to me is a waste of our tax dollars. I mean, I don't mind paying a tax if you're going to let me know it's going to go somewhere that's going to make a difference. But we keep hearing about how roads and bridges in Washington State are crumbling. We only have the gas tax protected, and they're trying to get rid of gas. So then we will have nothing that will be earmarked specifically to take care of roads, bridges, and other means of infrastructure in the state. Why can't, or I should say, was there discussion during this, an attempt to create something similar to the 18th Amendment for the funds that were raised by this?
No, I think that the program as it was written was intentionally designed to get around to the 18th Amendment so that those dollars wouldn't have to be put towards transportation infrastructure. I think that was a purposeful decision when they were designing the program. So, no, there was no serious talk about that this last session.
We're talking with Senator Chris Gildon from the 25th District, Puyallup, here on The Bottom Line.
You know, we were talking about infrastructure and pollution reduction measures. You would think that perhaps some of this money, the state would go to these industries and say, well, we're going to use this money to help you retrofit your manufacturing or whatever your processes so that you don't emit as much pollution. And we're going to take, $200 million and go plant, 700,000 trees in areas that need it. You would think that they would be doing tangible things that I think the public would be at least, okay, they're going to take this money and actually do things. But there are no retrofit plans or ag programs with this, are there?
Yeah, right. I mean, people want to see something of value for their tax dollars. You know, we put in public tax dollars for police, for firefighters, emergency responders. And, you know, whenever we call the police, we expect them to show up. And as long as that system is working properly, then I think people are okay with that, because we know that a certain level of taxes have to be collected in order to provide services, build roads, build bridges for the people of Washington State. This, however, is a whole different thing. Those dollars are not dedicated to retrofit, to, you know, increasing our infrastructure and to building projects that actually will have a direct effect. And I think that's one of the reasons why so many people are against it right now.
Senator, and we appreciate your time this afternoon. Final question before we let you go, and actually it's more of a request than a question, is we began this when we talked with Senator Behnke from the 8th District a little bit more than a week ago, and we want to do this with all the lawmakers that we're fortunate enough to have on the program. We continue to see and hear about all the issues with crime around our state, and it seems that the focus is being placed on an inanimate object and not the people that are committing the crime. So we are going to ask all the lawmakers that appear on our program if they would support legislation at the state level to increase penalties on those that illegally obtain and use a gun in the commission of a crime. It's one thing to blame the gun. Oh, yeah. It's another thing, however, when we're weakening penalties for people that commit violent crimes and weaken penalties, if they are even existing at all, or being prosecuted by, you know, and judges handing down weak sentences on those people who obtain guns illegally. So we would like to ask you that in the coming session, if you would sponsor or co-sponsor legislation that would increase the penalties for those that commit violent crimes and obtain guns illegally and use them in the commission of a crime.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll go one step further and say I would also support legislation that requires elected prosecutors to be accountable and report back to their constituents how they did their job. How many cases did law enforcement bring to them? How many did they actually take action on? And then, you know, a couple of paragraphs and narrative explaining why they did what they did, because that's the second link in the criminal justice chain is, you know, you've got the law enforcement who catch the bad guys, and then you've got the prosecutors and judges who, you know, determine innocence or guilt and then impose sentences. So I think that there's a couple of legs to this, right?
Absolutely, sir. Yeah. Very much. We got to start somewhere. Senator Chris Gildon.
There you go.
Senator Chris Gildon from the 25th District, Puyallup. Thank you very much for your time, sir. Appreciate you joining us on the program. Best of luck with the letter of ecology, and hopefully we'll have an opportunity to talk to you again in the future.
All right, thanks. Have a great day.
Absolutely. You as well. Senator Chris Gildon, Senator from Puyallup, the 25th District, here on the Bottom Line, News Radio 610 KONA.